Oh, I'm live. Good. Excellent. Good evening, everybody, and welcome. Good evening, Ian Harris. Good evening, Sonia, and good evening, Margaret. I know some of you, it's morning for you and mid-afternoon for others. But now I can't refrain from saying thank you, Sonia, for all your work towards supporting and helping this channel. That's a great blessing, and just have to thank you for that. And Ian, thank you for yours and Kathy's prayers for this channel, and Margaret as well, and others who are praying for this channel. I'm very, very grateful to you, and your help is much appreciated. And if you're here at all, Brian, then thank you for the help that you've given as well. There's a lot of work to do. This is a channel which desired, but within that, my hope is very much that whatever strength I have could be used for God's people, and to preach the gospel to those who are as yet not Christians. I value your feedback. You can see I'm wearing headphones this evening. I'm trying a different microphone arrangement. I've had a lot of problems with the technology lately, and essentially I'm hoping that changing the microphone might help. This microphone might give me a better voice recording, but there's also an increase of feedback, of background noise, for example, traffic or people talking in the other flats because the walls are quite thin. Bernadette, welcome in Ireland. So can you hear me all right, everybody? Is the sound quality good? Micaiah, welcome. It's great to see you all. Okay, nobody's responding, so I have to assume you can't hear me, in which case that's not good. So I'm going to tell you a couple of stories as I come into this. Our subject this evening is our love for God. But these are technology stories, first of all. Spurgeon never had to worry about the technology in the way that we do. Good audio. Thank you, Ian. If there's poor quality vision, I think that's probably a matter of bandwidth in Australia. It seems to be. It seems to be in Australia where those problems happen. But if you can hear the sound, that's great. I'll be very, very happy if I can get some good sound out. Micaiah says video quality a little blurry. Well, I don't think Micaiah is in Australia. I don't know where you are, Micaiah. Sorry. Don't have to tell us. That's all right. But audio is good so far. Thank the Lord for that. It's the audio that I'm focusing on this evening. There's not actually anything more I can do about the video quality. So that's in the hands of the internet. And of course, ultimately, it's in the hands of our God. Thank you, Bernadette. You can hear perfectly. That's great. So when Spurgeon was preaching, he, on one occasion, I read this, he was railing against the use of ear trumpets. What would happen in those days, because there was no electronics and no amplification system, is they'd have a great metal trumpet, which was facing, the wide end was facing him, and he would preach, and this was just in front of him, he'd preach into that, and the sound would be carried downwards, and there'd be another trumpet at the bottom of the pulpit, and all the people who had a hard of hearing would sit around listening to the end of this trumpet. And Spurgeon said he disdained such technology. So the first thing he would always do, he said, I don't know if he actually did this, but he said the first thing he'd always do, drop his pocket handkerchief into the ear trumpet to block it off. And he generally found that everybody could hear him very clearly without it. Now, I, on my own experience on one occasion, quite a few years ago now, just as I was about to go up and preach into the pulpit, the pastor came to me and he was very confrontational and said, David, he said, I've ordered the deacons to turn the PA system up full volume. So that if you preach at your normal volume, he said, you will blow up the old people's hearing aids and you will bear responsibility for that. Well, as a younger preacher, I was really shaken by this, but I got into the pulpit and I preached my message. And two things happened. First of all, the pastor himself came to me with tears streaming down his face afterwards, repenting for the way he treated me, and that was very welcome, and thank the Lord for that, and of course I forgive. And the second thing is the people themselves with hearing aids came out, and several of them said things like, oh, thank you for preaching, David, that's the first sermon we've heard for years. So the Lord helped me on that occasion, and I thank the Lord for that. But tonight we're trying a different microphone setup, and that's why I'm wearing the earphones, and I hope that by God's grace we'll all be able to hear the word of God clearly. John, welcome. You might be in, shrouded in snow again where you are. I don't know. I remember you had very bad weather earlier on. You had a terrible storm a couple of months back, but maybe you're snowed in. I don't know. So, right. Okay. So I'm just figuring out the sound we'll see what happens. If there are any problems with the sound, if it's poor quality or there's too much intrusion from exterior noises, but actually right by a busy road here, lots of traffic going past. Okay, thank you, John. That's several hundred miles north of here in Scotland, in bonny Scotland. So let's read the Word of God. Let's read 1 John again. We're doing a series on the Christian and love, and I don't think we've said nearly as much on it as we could. I'm very aware that I won't be able to say nearly as much on the topic of our love for God as we find in the Bible, but I'll try and say enough to be helpful to us by God's grace. And my prayer again is that we would all be encouraged by this. But let's read the Word of God. Let's go back to John, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Is not of God, heareth not us. Here know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And our text this evening will be verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Father, we ask and pray that you be with us this evening. Again, we just ask that this time would be improved to us, that you would speak to each of our hearts, that you would instruct us from your word, that you would revive us, refresh us, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. If we are flagging, Lord, if we are weak, if we are weary, Lord, if we are wondering how we will stand up for the cause of Christ and worried that we might not, Father, we ask for the fresh and powerful effusions of your Holy Spirit to reinvigorate us, to revive us, Lord, to stir us up, to empower us to be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask, Father, for your blessing upon this podcast, upon this ministry, Lord, and upon this channel, Lord, on YouTube and the other channels that are being prepared, Lord. And Father, we ask and pray that you forgive us for our many sins, because we have broken your commandments. We are not worthy. We look to Jesus Christ alone. We look to his death alone. And we are confident that he has died for our sins, and that we have placed our faith where it should be, or put to shame. Father, thank you that we have a hope that is steadfast and certain in the Lord Jesus Christ. because he died for us and because he is raised from the dead, and we long for his return and on the clouds of heaven. And so we ask, Father, that you'd be with us now. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Reiko, it's very good to see you here again, and you are very welcome. And to have somebody from Japan is a great honor. And Lord bless you. In Japan, I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I know there are many people in Japan who do love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I sincerely hope you're one of them. But it's an honor to have you with us, and the Lord bless you, Reiko. Sally, welcome back. It's good to see you again. And Deborah, welcome. And we've got people from all over. Reiko, you're Jewish. Well, that's very interesting. And the Lord bless you, Reiko. Kathy, good evening from Georgia. So Georgia, North Carolina, other places. We have Australia. Several people from Australia, and one from Ireland, one from Scotland, and as far as I'm aware, a couple from England, including myself. So there we are, and that's good. And may the Lord bless us all over the world. May we desire to honor Jesus Christ, our Savior, and love him. Miriam, welcome. And yes, well done, Miriam. Thank you for sending your greetings to all those by name. Let me press on with the ministry, the message. So God's love for us. First of all, I just want to mention John Owen's book on holiness. John Owen was a great Puritan preacher, of course, and theologian. John Owen points out in his book on holiness that it doesn't matter who you are as a Christian. You might be a pastor, you might be an elder, you might be a Christian of many years and with a reputation for serving God. The only thing that keeps us falling into sin, the only thing that keeps us from temptation, isn't our reputation, our experience, or our place in the church as an officer or otherwise. The only thing that keeps us falling into sin, John Owen argues, is our love for God, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not just a matter of legalistically saying, I must do this and I mustn't do that. It's a question of, if I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I will strive to keep his commandments. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. And so it should be of the utmost concern to us Christians that we're not only found to love God, but that we should grow in our love for God. A lot of Christian men, for example, in these days, and by no means only men, but a lot of Christian men in these days say, how can I overcome pornography? How can I overcome sexual temptation? There's no getting away from this as an issue. Well, the first advice is work on loving God more. Work on loving God more. Work on being closer to God. Work on being closer to him through Jesus Christ. Work on walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and delighting in God. That is a great preservative against sin. Don't trust in your own strength, but cast yourself on God and grow in your love for God. And the more you love God, the more strength you will find to overcome the temptations of this world. Well, that's a big topic. It's one for another time. But nevertheless, with those kinds of temptations being no more than two clicks away of a mouse, then these are things which are of great concern to many, many Christian men in these days and others as well. So we've already spoken about God's love for us. We've seen how God's love for us is unconditional, it's unmerited. It's found in Jesus Christ and in the sending and giving of his own son. We see that here in verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I love to believe it because have the greatest. I hope we can still hear all right. I think we can. Gavin, welcome. Yes, we love that. Gavin says, I love you all, but especially who are in Christ. And we are Christians when we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are to love the brethren. And I hope and I trust that although we're from all over the world, there's that same bond in Jesus Christ in our hearts tonight, that we're drawn together by that bond and that love. So the first and the greatest commandment is that we should love the Lord our God with everything that we have. And that's what we're considering tonight. That's in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And you can find it, for example, repeated by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 22, verse 37 and other Gospels. Now, we need to say, first of all, if we aren't in Jesus Christ, if we're not saved from our sins, if we don't have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible for us to, It's impossible for us to love God without Jesus Christ. We live in a world where people talk about loving God, where they think they love God. Very often they love idols which are made out of wood or stone or precious precious jewels or whatever, and they fall down before them. Or they might worship cows, or they might worship plants. They might worship anything but the true and living God. They claim to love God, but they don't know him. The world says it loves God, but it's impossible to love God without knowing him. And it's impossible to love God without knowing Jesus Christ. So no matter what we may have said about ourselves, when we were unbelievers, we could not love God. It wasn't in our power to do that. In fact, in reality, by worshipping idols and by worshipping a God of our own making, we're showing that we hate God. Those who claim to love God love a God of their own making, a God who goes along with their sins, a God who gives them a way of salvation which they can perform by their own works, a God who is a God made with their own hands very often. But the true God, the God of the Bible, they don't love because he condemns them on account of their sin. They won't love a God who made the heavens and the earth, so they invent evolution as a way of explaining away the existence of God. What nonsense. They won't love a God who is a moral God, so they say, because we evolved from the animals, there are no moral absolutes. That's why we can kill the unborn child. That's why we can do what we want. And if we want to sound very good in this world, we say, as long as we don't hurt others, but no man's an island, and our behavior always hurts others if it's sinful behavior. Above all, our sin is we are guilty before God. But we cannot love a holy God because we have bad hearts. We don't run to the light with our bad hearts. We hide from the light. We flee from it. We hide ourselves. We cannot love God because we are sinners by nature. It's impossible. I mean, 1 John verses 8 and 19 tell us in verse 8, we read that it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So the alternative to that is if we know God, we love. We've said already that Christians, welcome, Amanda. I'm sure everybody else here joins with me in giving you a very warm welcome, Amanda, and saying how wonderful it is and how pleased and thankful we are to God that you're with us. And I mean that sincerely, Amanda. It's great to see you as well as everybody else here. And thank you so much for joining us and being with us. And thank you for all the encouragement you give to this channel, Amanda. We love God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God. So if we know God, we know him through Jesus Christ, then we love. And we've said already that love is something that is found in every Christian's heart, love towards God. Now, this is not a work whereby we're saved. We're not saved because we love God. We're saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. But love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Every true Christian has been born again by the Holy Spirit. And a fruit of that regeneration of that spiritual work whereby God lives in our hearts is love towards God. And we were considering last time how this fruit of love is found in every true Christian. And then verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So if we aren't aware of him first loving us, we don't love him. We love God because he first loved us. It's impossible for us to love God if he hadn't loved us first. But how has God loved us first? He has loved us. He has so loved the world by sending and giving Jesus Christ for us to be our savior from the world. Hence again, here in his love, not that we love God, verse 10. But that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's how God has loved us. So if you hear this gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ being the love of God revealed to the world and you turn away from it, then you cannot understand what it means that God first loved us, that God stepped in when we didn't love him, when we hated him, when we were in our sins, when we worshipped gods of our own making, when we had no time for the true and living God. God stepped in and we love him because he first loved us. In this relationship between us and God through Jesus Christ, God was the first mover. He was the one who first came towards us. He was the one who first moved in our direction. He was the one who by spirit drew us. He's the one who by spirit opened our eyes. He's the one who by spirit. You see, when the gospel is preached, that gospel drives people away. It's only when the Holy Spirit works in our heart so we can be drawn towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we're drawn towards the light, that we can bear the light. until the time when the Holy Spirit regenerates us, makes us new creatures, and baptizes us into the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. God loved us first. He loved us when we were unlovely. He loved us when we were unlovable. God loved us. And he loved us with that everlasting love of sending and giving his Son. It's impossible for us to love God without knowing him. And it's impossible for us to love God without knowing him. It's impossible for us to know God without knowing Jesus Christ. It's impossible for us to love God without grace. So if you're a Christian, you have to love God. And if you're not a Christian, you cannot love God. Rekha, we're so thrilled and thankful you got off the streets and you found a job. Praise God and thank God for that. Gavin, welcome again. I think we said that before. Amanda. Okay, Amanda's dressing Miriam. So it's impossible for us to love God without Jesus, and it's impossible for us to love God without grace. The two are connected. And we cannot love God without loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this means our love towards God is a love for the Holy Trinity, according to the Bible. How we behave towards Jesus is the same as our behavior towards God the Father. And if we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, we honor the Father. If we dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ, we dishonor the Father. So the Christian's love is a love for each person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is only one God, but there are three persons in the Godhead, and they are equally God. And then I put a note there, and I can't read it because it's doctor's writing as usual, so I'll have to skip that bit. But let's carry on. Then there is the Christian. So we've said already the Christian must love God. We love him because he first loved us. That's a statement that we love him. That's a statement concerning Christians. We love God because he first loved us, but we love God. If you're a Christian this evening, you love God. You might say, well, I don't feel I love him very much, but that's an amazing miracle of grace. And if you don't love God, you're not a Christian. So let's look at the Christian's love for God, some comments on that. The first thing is the Christian who walks with God, the first thing is he looks at his love and he says, my love is so small. He laments it. He feels pathetic. He says, look what Jesus did for me. Look how the Lord Jesus laid his life down, his life for me. He withheld nothing. He gave everything. In this world, the Lord Jesus gave everything, and he wasn't just a man, and he wasn't a sinful man. He was a perfect man, but he wasn't just a man. He was God in the flesh, and he gave everything for me. And look how small my love is in return. I feel as though I love God very little. I feel as though I have little heart and little desire to obey him. At times, I know that my heart is cold. At times, I know I'm very slow in prayer, and I'm of little faith. I don't trust God in the trials of life, and I don't look to him. And sometimes I don't speak up for him. And the Christian lists his failings and says, well, my love is very small. When did you last hear a Christian going around saying, I really love God? I mean, I love God so much more than other people, and I really love God. I mean, yeah, Christians do say that. I want to say to you tonight, I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. And I want to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. But I'm not telling you that I am a better Christian than other Christians. And I lament the smallness of my love. And I know the smallness of my love. And I know that many, many times I have failed my Savior because of the smallness of my love. Yet he still loves me. The Christian laments the smallness of his love. One of the things I think that's lacking in the pulpit today is men, obviously preachers are men, pastors are men, who can stand in the pulpit and in a manly way say, I love Jesus Christ. In fact, there was a pastor. He was invited to give a talk at a midweek meeting in a certain church not far from here, and this was several years ago, and he came to the front. He said, I just want to tell everybody that I love Jesus. And my heart was singing with joy. Here's a pastor that wants to tell the congregation that he loves Jesus. How manly, how wonderful. Christian men should be telling people, I want to love Jesus, in a manly Christian way. How wonderful. But very often we're not telling people that we love Jesus, but the Christian feels the smallness of his love. He laments the smallness of his love, and he knows because of his track record that his love is small. But we should remember in John 21, three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, and Peter was grieved by that. This was after Peter had let the Lord Jesus down, after Peter had denied the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, asked Peter three times if he loved him. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. What if Jesus asked you three times if you loved him? And the first time you said, yes, I love you, Lord. The second time you said, I do love you, Lord. And the third time you say, well, Lord, as Peter did in the Greek, I love you a little, but it's still I love you. I may only love you a little, but I love you, Lord. And the Lord Jesus could use Peter. See how much the Lord Jesus loved Peter. He forgave him. He commissioned him to Christian service. But what Peter did was he affirmed that he loved the Lord Jesus, but he also affirmed that he acknowledged the smallness of his love, the weakness of his love. But this is the second thing about the Christian. He says to himself, I only love God a small way compared to how I should love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. But my love for God, my love for the Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle of grace. It was impossible for me to love God before I knew Jesus Christ. And the very fact that I love God even a little is an absolute miracle of grace. It's a sign that I'm a Christian. It's a sign that I'm born again. It's a sign that God is working in me. It's a sign that God has saved me from my sins and that I belong to him through Jesus Christ. The Christian marvels at the love in his heart. And it's not that God isn't lovely, because God is altogether lovely. Jesus Christ is altogether lovely. It's that I, as a Christian, am so hard-hearted and so cold and so indifferent and so worldly. This love, this small love, is nevertheless a miracle of grace. We love him because he first loved us. So the Christian marvels at this love that he has. The third thing is the Christian longs for his love to grow. Oh, how much. Bernadette is quoting Romans 5, verse 5, and that is, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. So the Christian desires that that love would be poured into his heart. The Christian desires that he'd be full of that love. But there's sometimes when, as Christians, when we're full of love and we feel empty. It's not about feeling, is it? It's about consistently walking with the Lord. It's about commitment and conviction and following the Lord, keeping his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord Jesus said. But you see, the Christian who loves the Lord looks at the smallness of his love and says, I want that love to grow. Father, fill me with your love. Pour that love in your love into my heart. I'm so hard-hearted. It's so hard for me to love the brethren because I love my comforts so much, or I love my comfort zone so much. It's hard for me to get out of that and serve other people, or to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ in public if I'm called to do so. But that love is what compels us, constrains us. Paul talked about a constraining love that constrained him to preach the gospel. And oh, that every one of us here, that God would pour his love into our hearts more and more. The Christian longs that the love of God would grow in his heart. And Miriam says, we do love the Lord Jesus. Indeed, we do, Miriam. But we get tired and ill and slow down and distracted and find it difficult to stay in the high energy of our first love. But Jesus knows it all and accepts what we have. Miriam, you said what I'm about to say. So thank you for that. That's a good summary of what I'm about to say. But that's an excellent comment. Thank you. The Christian longs that his love would grow. The first thing is, think about the parable of the sower. The Lord Jesus talks about these different soils, and there are those who run well, they begin well, and it looks as though they're on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it looks as though nothing could ever stop them from loving him going on. But they quickly have the word snatched out of their heart, or they become choked with the thorns of this world, or they become cold-hearted. But there are those who are in good soil, and the perseverance of that love, the perseverance of our service of the Lord Jesus Christ is a mark of real love towards God, because that's a fruit of being truly born again. Peter, welcome, and it's good to see you. Although I can't see you, it's good to see you. Bernadette says, amazing grace. Praise God he saved a wretch like me. And every one of us can say that. So Miriam, yes, good evening, Peter. That's it. Mie, welcome. It's great to see you, and the Lord bless you, Mie, and every one of us, that we would be growing in grace and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 12, talks about the love of many waxing cold. And I think we're living in days when we see the love of many waxing cold. We see how even in evangelistic work, you see how people don't want to know God. They don't want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Their love has grown cold. Now, we're talking about it's impossible for unbelievers to know God. But even in the churches are declining. The love for Jesus Christ is growing cold. And you can go into churches, evangelical churches, where the name of Jesus is never mentioned. And you can say, well, why wasn't the name of Jesus mentioned? And they say, oh, well, it wasn't in the text we used this week. But surely it's all about Jesus. It's all about focusing on him, and everything in the scripture is there to bring us to Jesus, to build us up in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the many love of many is waxing cold, and may it not wax cold in our hearts, but we are living in such days. Don't let it happen to you, and I mustn't let that happen to me. Then there was Demas, who forsook Paul, and in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. He had loved this present world. There are those who love this present world and their love grows cold. Some backslide and never return. They were never saved in the first place. Others backslide and they are chastened by the Lord. And like the prodigal son in the pig pen, they return to the Lord Jesus Christ, weeping over their sins and their backslidings. If you're backsliding, come back to the Lord. The Lord will have mercy on you. Return unto me, says the Lord, and he will restore you. And have mercy on you and receive you. God is so gracious to us. He bears with us in our weakness and even in our backslidings because he loves us. He loved us first. But it's a shameful thing to backslide. Now, I wanted to mention 1 John 2, verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, you can't have the love of God in you if you love the world. If you love the world, if you fall in love with the world, it's so easy. As Christians, we've done this. You know, we've become too obsessed with things in this world, and we've had to be brought back by chastening. We've had to realize that everything in this world, however interesting, however gripping it may be to the world, nothing compares with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing compares with knowing God. Now, we didn't have to have all this technology and all of these devices and things throughout history. Those who have loved God have had treasure in heaven through Jesus Christ. And that's where our treasure is. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be, the Bible says, I think. And so our hearts should be set on the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't they? He is our treasure in heaven. He is the treasure that is exceedingly great and precious and wonderful to us. So don't be like Demas and don't love the world or the things that are in the world. We're surrounded with temptation on that front, and we don't need those things. And then, if I can move to another example, the Shulamite in Song of Solomon and chapter 5, verse 6, this is how she got just a little bit sloppy and just a little bit lazy in her relationship with her beloved. She loved him, but he knocked on the door and she was sort of, you know, I'm in bed. I can't be bothered to get up and open the door. Okay, I'll get up in a little while. And by the time she got up and time she went to the door, her beloved had disappeared. She'd lost the presence of the Lord. Wonderful sermons by Spurgeon on this, by the way. I put a series of Spurgeon sermons on Song of Solomon up on sermon audio, and they're amazing. But in Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 6, we have, I'm just trying to find Song of Solomon. I know it is. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 6. She says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. In verse 7, the watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. And so on. And she was sloppy. She was lazy. She was a Christian. She was saved. This is Christ and his church. She represents the church. The church was a little bit lazy, a little bit indifferent, a little bit slow in showing her love for her beloved. And he withdrew his presence from her for a season. So she went looking for him and she didn't find him. And the watchman smote her. I think it would be Spurgeon and others would preach on this. This is like the Christian who's grown cold in heart and like a coal that's taken out of the fire, the glow has stopped and it's ceased to be so warm and it's getting colder. But in Song of Solomon here, the watchmen are like the pastors who use the word of God to smite the backslider and the cold-hearted to bring them back and say, come back to the Lord. Put away your backslidings. Put away your coldness and come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord Jesus Christ and love him. It's not that she didn't love him. She did. She wasn't like Demas, who loved the world. She wasn't. Her love wasn't waxing cold in the sense that she was falling away completely from the Lord Jesus Christ. But she'd just become a little sloppy, a little bit lazy. And we could be like that. We can go through the motions as long as we're going to church, as long as we're going to the midweek meeting. We're doing more than most. And as long as we're reading our Bible. But we're not really on fire for God. Now, and the thing is this, that as Christians, we should desire that our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, a man to whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So if you say that you've been chastened often to your shame, it's a sure sign that the Lord loves you. I don't think there's any of us here who followed the Lord who couldn't say the same thing. We've been chastened often to our shame. And at the time, it's been unpleasant. And yet afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Yes, indeed, the Lord loves us, and whom he loves, he chastens, and we need it. Now, I want to go on here then and say, so marriage is such a wonderful example, isn't it, it has so many things that can tell us about love, the relationship there in Song of Solomon between Christ and his church. I think I read something like 30 Spurgeon sermons or the Song of Solomon, and not only were they a blessing to others, an extraordinary blessing to me, but Spurgeon didn't have anything to say about marriage in this world or the relationship between a man and his wife. All of his teaching was about the Lord Jesus and his church, and it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So, but in marriage, if you're married, love should grow in a marriage, shouldn't it? And the sad thing is, in a marriage, love can die. One or both of the people in that marriage will say, well, I used to love you, but now I have no feelings towards you whatsoever. I'm totally cold. And you'll say, well, those feelings in you should be stirred up. But when once they're dead, they can't be stirred up. And nothing can be done to remedy it. That's very often how a marriage goes. Sadly, it happens to Christian marriages as well. But love should grow in a marriage. It shouldn't cool. It shouldn't die. And I should be saying, so much as I am responsible for this, I'm going to work at this marriage. I'm going to do everything I can to stir up love and to set an example in this marriage, whether with a husband or the wife. There's two examples here. I saw a video drama, a short drama, and it was an old man who was remembering the day that he first met a young woman who became his wife. And he was remembering with great fondness that day and how she'd gone on to become his wife. But now he's an old man, and he's daydreaming about this with great pleasure. And then the door opens and his wife comes in, and now she's a wrinkly old woman. And she comes up to him and seeks to show him some affection. He just waves away and says, oh, go away, woman. And it's like, you know, marriage shouldn't be like that. The love of our first espousals, Jeremiah 2, verse 2. God remembers the love of our first espousals. He remembers how, when we first became Christians, we were so excited and we were so filled with joy and we could hardly sleep and we wanted to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was like meeting the man or the woman that we were going to marry for the first time. It was full of joy and excitement for us. But as time goes on, love must grow, but the feelings change, but love must grow. And a better example of how love should grow in a marriage is this. That this example was given by Jeff Thomas, whose preaching has done me wonderful good, I say. Jeff Thomas, whose sermons can be found on Sermon Audio at sermonaudio.com. But he said that a pastor and his wife was dying of cancer, and she was really thin and very unwell, and her hair was thinning, and she was a terrible color. And they went into the ward, and the pastor looked at his wife on her deathbed. With a glowing face, he said, isn't she beautiful? Isn't she beautiful? And that to me is just an example of how love should grow within marriage. Well, our love should grow, that the person that we have married should be more beautiful to us as time goes on, and not dependent upon the love of our first espousals, but on the love of a mature walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, of finding out just how good God is to us and how much he loves us and how great his mercies are towards us and his dealings with us every day in our lives as Christians. As we go on as Christians, we don't perhaps have such great excitement in our hearts as we did when we first became Christians. That was my experience. Everybody's experience is different. But our love is seen in terms of our service, and the outworking of that here in 1 John is that if we love God, we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we give ourselves for them, give ourselves to them as an expression of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, elsewhere, Jesus says, if we love him, we keep his commandments, and we obey God's commandments, not out of slavish legalism, but out of love for God. Miriam, real love can't die. It can go underground, it winters, but it can surprise us with the springtime again. I believe this is grace. Now, the thing here is this, that tragically, even in Christian marriages, sometimes love fails, but God's love towards us never fails. And our love towards him won't fail either if we're Christians. But it goes through many trials and difficulties. The Christian desires that his or her love for God grows. The love of our first espousals. The psalmist could sing, oh, this is a metrical psalm, but where is the blessedness I knew when at first I knew the Lord? And now as a Christian of many years, Lord, increase my love for you. I feel my love is so small. I want to love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and how far I am from that. But I don't want to be found lacking in love towards God. I don't want a love that says, I love you only when it suits me, and the rest of the time I love the world, or I love you at such and such a time in church on Sundays and on Wednesday nights, but not the rest of the time. I want my whole life to be given over to serving God. And I want the motivation of that to be love for Jesus Christ. How far we are from that. But love's revival is what we long for. Well, Psalm 31, verse 23 says, Psalm 31, verse 23. Reads, sorry, it's taking me a little time to turn the pages here. Psalm 31, verse 23 reads, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. Is that not the chief desire of our hearts? Is that not the first thing in our lives? Jesus said, whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter or anyone or anything more than me is not worthy of me. That's us. And we have children. I think that's the biggest challenge and the biggest trial, that we should love Jesus Christ more. There are those who fell away because they love their children more than they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we do love our children, there's no question about that. Or we love our parents, or we love our brothers and sisters, or we love our husband, or we love our wife, or we love somebody, but we must never love anybody more than we love Jesus Christ. Gavin says, I've heard the first love is the love of our parents. I think I'm convinced by that. Thank you for your comments there on marriage, Miriam. Yes, Miriam says, even loving God is a gift from him, and it is. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. And this is it. This should be the mark of our lives. If people see us and they see that we love Jesus Christ, that's going to be seen in how Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another. Also, we love the Lord Jesus, not unto death. Those who went to the gallows and were hung, those who went to the stake and were burned, those who laid down their lives, those who did not deny the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of trial and understood what was at stake and understood the issues and understood the risks they were taking and said, I do all things for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a better crown laid up for me in heaven. I have a better resurrection. That I may press on for the crown of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul said. They know the Lord Jesus, and their desire and their longing is that whatever they do, love has its tests. Our love might have its fiery trials. Will you deny the Lord Jesus? So much of our Christianity today is about me and my comforts and God giving me good things and me having an easy time and God not allowing me to suffer, because God isn't going to let me suffer. For example, he's going to rapture me before the tribulation. But what if love has its trial? What if I must go through that tribulation? And what if in that tribulation there are many trials and difficulties which God has promised us to keep us in? Here we are, verse 23 of Psalm 31. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. He will preserve us, but we may be called upon. And I need to say this to everyone here, that you may be called upon at short notice to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ or to deny him. Are you ready? Are you praying, Lord, let me never deny you? The worst thing that could happen to me is that I, not that I lose my job or my home or my family or my life. The worst thing that could happen to me is that I deny the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be what we say as Christians. The world will hate us for that. But oh, that love for God was the first thing in our hearts. And oh, that that love was poured into our hearts by God's Holy Spirit. Ephesus, the church at Ephesus in Revelation, had lost its first love. The church at Ephesus had was going through the motions. It was defending doctrine. It was exposing heresy. But it had lost its first love. And as a church, it was in trouble. Let's never lose our first love. A cold heart may be a sign. Also, if we have a cold heart, we say, well, I am a Christian because I said a little prayer, or once I served God, but now my heart is cold. I can't stir myself up to love God. I'm not interested in the things of God. I'm not interested in serving God. Maybe it's a sign you never were a Christian. Many of us have children, because a number of people have spoken to me about this. This is true in my case. Many of us have children who once said that they love Jesus. Now they say, my heart is totally Christ. And that breaks our hearts. But love for the Lord Jesus Christ. A cold heart may be a sign you never were a Christian. How can you be a Christian and have a cold heart? How can you say that you belong to Jesus and that you're saved by grace and you don't love God? Ian Harris, responding to his love, loving God permits our genuine love of others, a mystery and a miracle. Yes, amen. Well, it's a mystery to us how God could love us, Ian, isn't it? But he has loved us. It's a mystery unto us how that infinite love has been revealed and shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to examine our hearts. We need to examine our hearts and ask, do I love God? Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he my first love? And is my desire to obey his commandments, to love his people, to serve him, to stand up for him because I love him? The second thing is that thanking God, we should thank God for the miracle of love in our hearts, not just for his love for us, but be amazed of the miracle of grace and the miracle of love that's in our hearts. Father, I know that as a great sinner, I could not have loved Jesus Christ but for your grace. And it's not that Jesus isn't altogether lovely, it's that I'm altogether sinful. There was a time when I saw nothing in Jesus Christ that I should desire him, but there came a time when you revealed him to me, and then I saw him as he was, and he became altogether lovely to me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we should ask God to stir up the love for him in our hearts. We should be praying that, Lord, stir me up to love Jesus more and more. And again, there are these two outworkings. There's a love for the saints and our behavior in the world. Well, may God revive us all in his love in these days, and may our love increase more and more for God and for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for a lost world. And may we live for his glory and love him and serve him in these days. Sir Dante, you've found us. Praise God. It's great to have you with us. Thank you. I'm really glad you found our live broadcast, and you're telling us that you're in Sacramento, and you're very, very welcome. We've got people from all over the world here this evening, and that's great. Well, in different parts of the world, that's great. And I'm really glad you joined us, brother, and that's great. The Lord bless you. Father, we ask and pray that you would stir up the love in our cold hearts. We repent for the coldness of our love. We repent, Lord, for the times of our backslidings. We repent for not having loved Jesus in the way that he loved us. And we know this is because we're sinners, Lord, and he is God. But even so, Lord, we lament the smallness of our love. And we ask, Father, that you would stir us up to love you. Help us to love our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Help us to serve and to follow, help us to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. Make us more willing and less hard-hearted when it comes to doing the difficult and the dirty tasks that others don't want to do. Forgive us for the times when we've defended our own comforts, Lord, at the expense of others. Father, have mercy upon us. Help us to be willing to lay down our lives for our friends, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, give us grace and give us boldness, and Lord, may we out of love speak up for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the world hates him, when the world uses his name as a swear word, when the world turns away from him, help us to stand up and say with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all those that believe. So, Father, pour out your love upon us, pour out your love in us, fill us and may overflow from us around us, and make us like Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Father, I want to pray for this ministry. I want to pray for the new ventures in this ministry, the podcasts that are about to be launched. And I ask and pray, Father, that those would reach people through iTunes and Spotify and other places. And I ask, Father, that you would increase this ministry in so much as it's of your Holy Spirit and used for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that you'd call and stir up your people to pray for this work, these messages on YouTube and sermon audio, Lord, that they would be used much for your glory. We pray for our countries, our nations, Lord, thinking of California, for example, Lord, and other places in the United States. We ask and pray that you'd help your people in that country to remain faithful, Lord, and to remain focused on the Lord Jesus in perplexing and difficult times. Bless our sister in Japan, Lord, and thank you for her. And we pray that she would truly know the Lord Jesus in her heart, in her life, and in all that she seeks to do. Bless her and have mercy upon her. Each one of us to you now, Father, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. So thank you for being with us this evening. This subject of loving God, that should be the greatest thing in our minds. I think that we should love God more. It's a great preservative against sin. If I find myself tempted, how will I overcome temptation? By loving God more. By seeking him more, by giving myself over to him more. Kathy, welcome. And by giving myself open to him more and over to him more. And this is what I desire. I if you've been a Christian for any time, you know what I'm saying when I tell you I lament the times my heart was cold. And I lament the times, and some of them were long times and extended times. And we can't afford to have cold hearts in this world anymore. We can't afford now to, we never could before, but we especially can't now, as the world ramps up its opposition and laws are passed against God's laws and all of these things. We need to be found to be walking in Jesus Christ. We need to be serious Christians, serious about Christian service, serious about our Christian witness and our Christian testimony. Pray for each other. Pray that God would revive us and pour out his Holy Spirit upon us. Now, I mentioned in prayer there that there are various podcasts that are being started. I wanted to put out this material on more platforms than just YouTube. So this will be going out via podbean.com under the umbrella title of Bible Believers. Hopefully this message will spread to other people who don't access or don't want to access YouTube. I've had help in doing this, and I'm very grateful to those who've helped with this. But please pray for it. Please pray. Some of you have looked at the video I put up yesterday on lust, and that was specifically produced for the podcasts. I'm producing 10-minute message sermons now, which are aimed at people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, in a series entitled "How Do I Become a Christian?" The hope is that people whom God's prepared in their hearts will find these messages, and it will be genuinely helpful to them. So please pray for these messages. And that one yesterday on lust, which is specifically aimed that unbelievers would find it, that would bring conviction of sin and open people's eyes and bring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I can put a link, and I should put a link to this. These podcasts are only just going public, but I should put a link in the box below after I've done this. So I should do that. It's an exciting venture, and it's another way of seeking to make the Lord Jesus Christ known. Ian Harris says, with anti-Christian persecution and Jewish anti-Semitism growing rapidly, it is not too difficult to imagine our own faith subject to profound personal challenge. At the moment, Muslims are making a very determined effort to make their presence very, very significantly felt here in the United Kingdom. And I know that's probably true in other countries as well. And nobody seems to be standing up to this at all. I put my trust in this, that I must stand up for the Lord Jesus and my times are in his hands. But if this Islam keeps rising the way it is, it's not going to be easy for anybody, but especially not for Christians and Jews. And that's in England. That's in England, where our state church, the Church of England, has lost the plot and decided to provoke God's wrath by blessing sodomy in the aisles of its churches. But we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're assured of this gospel. We know this gospel. Can I just ask, before I forget, has the sound quality for this broadcast been all right? Has anybody suffered from intrusive sounds, traffic noise or anything like that? Or has there been any echo or distortion or dropping of the sound at all? Or has this been good? And have you any opinions on the comparison with the sound with the previous setup? Thank you, Makai says once more. I'm talking about sound now, but... So I really value your prayer for my ministry. I really, really do. It's a lot of work, and it's God's work, and it's sweet, and it's blessed work. But the desire is that it would bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who pray for it are part of it. Every now and again, Sonia W. It did that with the previous setup as well. So, but thanks for telling me that, Sonia. Yes. So I think I'll persevere with using this sound. I'm going to take these things off my head because I don't like wearing them. That's better for me. Okay, dropping out and buffering. Thank you, Ian. Right, so back to the things in question. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We delight to say so publicly. The world hates the Lord Jesus, but we love him. The world sees no value in him, but we see him as the fairest of the fair, the fairest of 10,000. All together lovely, and our Saviour, our Lord, and our God. Margaret, a bit of sound dipping. Thank you very much. So Dante, a big person just entered the US. Right, okay. So Dante's saying that a significant player in Islam has just entered the US. Somebody reported on that, and they said, why is this not being spoken of in the news? This is significant. And they were complaining that this is something that A, should have been reported in the mainstream news, and B, should have been a matter for the authorities. And the fact that it was wasn't neither of those things happened made this a significant event, suggesting that Islam was going to advance in the United States of America. Is that right, Sir Dante? So, yes, but as Christians, we don't fear these things. We love the Lord Jesus. Another reason for putting out these podcasts, as well as the YouTube channel and the sermon audio, is very simply this. We have very little time left. Right now, I've got absolute freedom. I can step out there in Kidderminster. I could do it now. Well, it would be a bit silly at this time on a Friday night, but I could do it now. I could go and preach the gospel. I've done it at this time on Friday nights in the past. Go out there and preach the gospel. And I'd be absolutely free to do so, but that freedom can't last. Thank you, Amanda, for that. Thank you. Yes, the sound, yes. So I think this is the best setup I'm likely to get. So, but it works. I don't really know without a full professional studio how to improve things beyond this. So I'm very grateful for everything that God has given me to be able to do this. So and I've been doing this for about 2 years now, and it's I've learned a lot by trial and error, and the Lord has given us just enough resources to do this. And my prayer is, oh, that this will be a blessing to God's people and a help to those who don't know the Lord Jesus. Any further questions, comments? I want to say this. Are any men who want to say publicly they love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? I think it's a very manly thing to do, and yet you very seldom hear men, even in the pulpit, saying that. But it's a very manly thing to stand up and say, I, as a Christian, love the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Saviour. Thank you, Micah. Sorry, I'm not putting pressure on anybody. I'm not making a note of who has and who hasn't. And I don't like it when a preacher at the front says, hands up all who do this or that. And that wasn't my intention. There's no criticism implied in anybody who doesn't. But if somebody does, you see, it's an encouragement. Me, by saying that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you've encouraged me. And that's a big encouragement to me. But I'm sorry, I'm not putting pressure on anybody. That's not the desire. But I do think that when men stand up and say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a great witness. That's what I hope to do by myself and by God's grace. Manda, I think we are truly blessed to be here together. Yes, Ian, I believe we must. I'm going to switch the camera off unless there's any further questions or comments just now, but I'm going to switch the camera off. I'll leave this running for a couple of minutes so people can make final comments or criticisms or send their greetings to each other. Blessings to you, Ian, and thank you for being with us, and Kathy.